is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Friday, February 17th, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. And apparently what I thought was going to fix the tail end of that intro did not work. But it's still good to be here. Welcome to the end of the week and the beginning of the weekend. We're glad you could be here. We got a great show coming up. Joining us from our virtual studio in beautiful Grastoria, Oregon, is our senior news editor, Cannabis Carrie. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Russ. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. And a programming note for folks, this is a three-day weekend for the Normal family as we take the federal holidays off, usually. And this Monday is President's Day. So federal holiday on Monday, so that means no new Normal Show Live. But I am going to rerun a couple of specials I did. One I did on President's Day last year, examining the history of U.S. presidents and their use of cannabis or growing of hemp. And I'll also run my special on Richard Nixon and the war on drugs at the 40th anniversary a year ago and his own words. So a couple of presidential type shows coming up on Monday, but nothing live. Now, coming up on today's live show, we've got our hemp headlines and Carrie's got that. So what's in the news today?
Well, today we're going to go to Arizona, where the House voted on a marijuana ban yesterday. I'll tell you all about that. Plus, we've got some world cannabis news for a Friday. We're going to go to a demonstration over in Poland that happened today. And if we have time for it, some celebrity bus news. But first up, we're going to go to that story finally out of Texas Christian University, a drug sting that happened last week. We've waited a few days, and I'm glad we did. We've got some new information on that as well coming up first in today's hemp headlines.
All right. I've got a couple of stories as well. We probably won't get them in the first hour. We'll take them in hour two, a story on global alcohol regulations being called for by the World Health Organization. And a stupid stoner story involving a teenager. You got to check this one out. We'll probably get to that in hour two. Also coming up on today's show, it's Rockin' Friday, so Herb Thrasher will be calling in with the rock tune for the day, Sun Gods in Exile with Smoke and Fire. Paul Armentano joins us for a legislative roundup at half past the hour. And Normal has officially endorsed Washington's I-502 legalization measure. I'll talk about that in our radical rant at the end of the show. So stick around. It's the Normal Network and Normal Show Live. We're back right after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hi, I'm Radical Russ. One of the best things about marijuana is the wonderful aroma. But when you travel a lot like I do, that aroma becomes a suspicious smell. That's why I endorse stealth-products.com, the leaders in smell-proof containers. From smell-proof vacuum bags to smell-proof backpacks and duffel bags, all the way to smell-proof digital safes, stealth-products.com has you covered. Stealth-products.com brings you safe, secure, odorless layers of protection with activated carbon fiber. Backpacks and duffel bags are simple black so as not to attract attention with a logo or flashy design. Now, nothing is perfectly odor-controlled from the detection of drug dogs, but with proper vigilance, containers from stealth-products.com will help you avoid nosy humans.
You're now listening to Elliot Beats.
Stealth-products.com. Stealth-products.com.
How's it, everyone? This is Yee from Pepper, and you're listening to the Normal Show Live. All right.
weedmaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. In my job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month, and when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to weedmaps.com. Weedmaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let Weedmaps find you, and in seconds you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. Weedmaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of Normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. Weedmaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit Weedmaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
A drug sting at Texas Christian University has rocked that school. A six-month investigation into a possible marijuana selling ring led to the arrest of 17 TCU students last week during a raid. Police said the 17 people who were arrested were caught making, quote, hand-to-hand sales of not just marijuana, but cocaine, ecstasy, and prescription drugs to undercover officers. The media went on a blitz with stories last week about the underlying problems of drugs and marijuana on college campuses. Of those 17 students arrested, four were on the football roster. Tanner Brock, the junior linebacker for the team, was one of those arrested in the drug sting that took place on campus. His arrest warrant was published in local media, and it indicated that he admitted to an undercover officer that he had flunked a team drug test and that there would be an additional 60 or more players that would be screwed too. The warrant says that an officer had him look over the TCU roster and that player by player, he indicated only about 20 of them could pass a drug test. Now, his story added fuel to the fire about the drug usage on campus, and national sports medias were reporting about drug use among athletes. But now, a week later, more stories are emerging about those arrests and the investigation and drug use on the TCU football team. Despite all the claims from that TCU linebacker, local media has released a report this week from a February 1st surprise drug test of the team that showed only five players tested positive for marijuana. An additional 11 players did have trace amounts of marijuana in their system, but a quantity that was within the margin of error for the test. Marijuana was the only drug that was detected during the drug screening, and 86 players on that team tested clean. The reports do not indicate whether the arrested team members were the ones who tested positive. TCU released a statement that said that the school does test its athletes for drug use on a regular basis and added, quote, the comments about failed drug tests made by separated players in affidavits cannot be verified simply because they were made in the context of a drug buy. And now the attorneys for two of those other students arrested in the TCU early morning drug sting say that the investigation went too far, that 6 months of an investigation into some college kids getting pot for each other is destroying the lives of 17 people. Defense attorney Jim Shaw is the lawyer for a 20-year-old former TCU student accused of delivering marijuana four times in November and December. He says that if they knew a kid had marijuana 6 months ago, they should have arrested him and let the deterrent effect start right there. Bust the guy you know is wrong. Because the marijuana deals were going on around campus, a declared drug-free zone, even small amounts carry much larger sentences. All 17 students are facing possible prison time for their accused crimes. Shaw said the pre-dawn raid on the so-called Day of Shame on TCU's campus was overblown, that a simple phone call would have got all 17 kids to come and turn themselves in. He says he will fight to keep the children he represents out of prison, but fears that the damage has already been done with his client labeled a criminal and a member of the TCU 17.
Yeah, it's always a shame when we report on college kids getting busted like this. I mean, I guess I could take a selfish route and look at it two different ways. In one way, TCU is the one of the only teams to have beaten Boise State in the past few years. So if a few of their players can't play, maybe that helps Boise State. Or number two, if these guys are good players and they make it to the NFL, we can draft them for the pigskin potheads. But come on, all that aside, let's take a serious look at this. You know, busting these kids and spending all of this time, you know, researching whether or not they're getting marijuana, buying marijuana, selling marijuana, using a little bit of marijuana. Meanwhile, I can bet you dollars to donuts there's all sorts of fraternity, keg stand type parties going on, tailgating going on in the parking lots before the TCU games, people consuming mass quantities of alcohol, and no one even gives it a second look. Imagine if the players had to sign some sort of alcohol-free pledge and they were busted if they were detected in a random test of having any alcohol in their system. Of course, that's never going to happen because alcohol is pretty much benefiting and in a lot of ways funding major college athletics at that level, at TCU's level, at the BCS level. So we're not going to see that anytime soon. They're going to continue to demonize marijuana and the players that use it. There's no reason these young men's lives should be ruined over a marijuana charge, and that's why we need to continue to fight for full legalization for everyone.
And another story that affects campuses in Arizona. The Arizona House voted yesterday to ban marijuana on college and university campuses, ignoring a possible lawsuit that includes those that have a state-issued card that allows them to use marijuana for a medical reason. The 2010 voter-approved initiative that legalized the use of medical marijuana for those that qualify banned its use in public areas and public schools. That left the door open for possession of medical use of marijuana on the campuses of colleges. But Representative Amanda Reeve, a Republican from Phoenix, said that if we allowed marijuana on campuses, medical or not, it would go against the rules against illegal drugs that campuses say are necessary to make the schools eligible for federal grants and student aids and loans. The vote yesterday for House Bill 2349 came over the objections of Representative Ed Abelzer, a Democrat from Tempe, who says that lawmakers should not alter anything the voters have approved. The Arizona Constitution does not allow the legislatures from tinkering with voter-approved initiatives, but it does allow changes that, quote, further the purpose of the measure and only with a three-fourths vote of both the House and Senate. It looks like they might make it when it comes, the law comes back around for the final roll call vote. A spokesman for the Arizona Medical Marijuana Association says that denying college students and visitors the opportunity to use their allowed medical marijuana does nothing to further the purpose of the initiative and says that the move would be illegal. We will keep you posted on this as new developments arise.
Well, regardless of the insanity of thinking it's possible to keep marijuana off of a college campus in the first place, let's address this whole medical use issue. Is it a medicine or is it not a medicine? If the people of Arizona have passed a law saying that marijuana is a medicine and some people should be authorized to use it, that's going to include college students. That's going to include people that visit college students. What good is it to designate something a medicine someone can use if they're not allowed to use it based on the circumstances of where they happen to be going to school, happen to be working, happen to be living? This continued discrimination against medical marijuana patients continues only because we keep trying to go after healthy marijuana users. And that's why every time we pass medical marijuana laws, I always say, you know, this is a good thing. We want to get patients off the battlefield and all of that, but it's never going to go far enough. Patients will continue to get these Jim Crow-like second-class citizen treatments where they can't take their medicine to school. They can't use their medicine if they're going to work. They're not able to drive if they've ever used their medicine. Enough of this. Let's end the charades. Let's legalize marijuana for everyone. Let's stop trying to figure out who's healthy enough to put in a cage and who's sick enough to discriminate against. And let's just recognize everyone's right to pursue happiness in the way they see fit, so long as they're not harming others.
And for some world cannabis news, in Warsaw, Poland, several activists and a Polish politician lit up and smoked marijuana openly in front of parliament today to help push the agenda for liberalizing the country's drug laws. We have reported on Janusz Palikot before. He threatened to smoke marijuana inside of parliament session last year, but on threat of arrest, he lit an incense instead and spoke about legalizing cannabis in Poland while he introduced a bill to establish decriminalized amounts of cannabis's personal use. That bill did not pass. In Poland, possession of marijuana can get you up to 3 years in jail. Police who knew about the protest today did end up arresting three people before the event with a substance they say they're waiting to have tested. Those arrested say that it was the herb marjoram. With Palikot and a few others lighting up a joint and passing it around, dozens surrounded them with the chant, "Grow it, smoke it, legalize it." The police did not arrest those smoking and said they were not convinced that they were really had actual marijuana. Although those attending the event said you could smell burning marijuana, not only from the protesters, but coming from several of those in the crowd as well. Cannabis activists in Poland say they consider their country's harsh stance on cannabis hypocrisy, since Poland is a major vodka producer. The head of the Polish Drug Policy Network, a group campaigning to decriminalize soft drug use, called Poland's current laws outdated and wrongheaded, saying vodka is a far more dangerous substance to society. Other activists called today's protest during a light snowfall the beginning of the country's citizens who smoke weed to come out of the closet and show that smoking pot is as normal as drinking a beer. Marijuana was tolerated during the communist era, with few laws restricting its use. With Solidarity's victory over communism, the Catholic Church took a strong role in guiding public policy, and laws criminalizing drug use have since then become more and more restrictive and punitive. Janusz Polakot, who led the demonstration as the head of the left-wing party, has served in parliament since he was elected in 2005. He's a wealthy businessman, and his re-election bid was run as a member of the Libertarian Party.
This is great, and it reminds me of this idea of them using marjoram or some other herbs out there. It reminds me of a civil disobedience idea I've had for a long time here, and that is you get everyone at the statehouse steps or wherever you're going to gather a bunch of people, and everybody has joints, or bags of weed, whatever, joints or bags of weed, however you want to pull it off, except for the fact that 99 out of 100 joints aren't weed. Right. So most of them are the fake weed, you know, the pooty puff or whatever they call it in the fake weed advertisements. And one of them's real. So when the smoke out happens, you can smell real weed. But the cops have to spend their time and energy trying to figure out who's got the real weed compared to the 99 or more people that have the fake weed. It's kind of the civil disobedience that forces them to realize putting all this time and money and effort into trying to find out who's got the real joint in a crowd of 100 is just as ridiculous as trying to find out who's got the marijuana in a country of 300 million. Let's just legalize this again. I sound like a broken record, but kudos to the guys in Poland there who are making this strong stand and trying to legalize there in the Eastern Bloc.
Stupid Stoner Stories.
As a public service, Normal reminds you that smoking marijuana will not make one stupid. However, some stupid people do smoke marijuana. Don't be one of those stoners that make the rest of us look bad. Learn your lesson from today's
Stupid Stoner Story.
All right, for this story, you know, I sometimes refer to the whole treat it like tomatoes crowd. You've heard me talk about that before. You know, people who think that marijuana ought to be absolutely free, no limits in any way. And everybody knows when you go to a hydroponic store that you're supposed to ask about your tomato plants, right? But in the age of Google Images, it is inexcusable for anyone not to know that pot plants and tomato plants do not look similar. We go to our Stupid Stoner Story correspondent, Freddie Farrakh, with this news from the Daytona Beach Journal.
I'm Freddie Farrakh. A 15-year-old boy climbed into Angela Cartwright's kitchen window thinking to make off with a marijuana plant, but instead the young thief was actually stealing a potted tomato plant, a sheriff's arrest report shows. As he was running away from Cartwright's house on Carmen Avenue near Holly Hill on February 10th, just after 7 a.m., the teen even yelled at Cartwright, quote, "See, I have one of your pot plants," end quote, the arrest report states. Cartwright had arrived at her residence that morning after leaving her 6-year-old son off at the school bus stop. When she arrived at her home, she saw a teenager whose torso was inside her kitchen window and the other half of his body was hanging outside, the report shows. According to the report in Cartwright, the boy, who the Daytona Beach News Journal is not identifying because of his age, admitted to stealing the tomato plant, valued at under $5. When interviewed, the young suspect told a lawman the same thing. He broke into Cartwright's house thinking he was getting away with a marijuana plant, the report shows.
And we have one last story real quick. Carrie, you got news on Robin Thicke?
Sorry, Russ. Yeah, he was arrested today around noon. Robin Thicke, he's an R&B singer. He's the son of Growing Pains actor Alan Thicke and singer Gloria Loring. Anyway, he was spotted by cops smoking a joint in his Cadillac Escalade. just on the street shortly after noon today. He was sitting in his car and arrested for a small amount of marijuana that they recovered him on him on the time. He was sitting with another passenger, although we know that Thick was the only one arrested. So we just assume it's a small amount. He's well known, though. He's also married to Mission Impossible and Ghost Protocol actress Paula Patton. So there you go.
Well, there you go. Robin
Celebrity
Thicke.
Arrest.
Yeah, celebrity arrest happening today. Well, all right. I'm sure he's going to get pretty decent treatment, pretty decent lawyer to take care of him. I just wish that everybody else could get the same sort of treatment that Robin Thicke's about to get.
Hey, Russ, what do you think about a break?
What amazing timing.
I'm your 420 buddy.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
Did you eat the brownies in the back of the freezer?
No.
Good. Don't, because they're your dad's for when he goes to concerts.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORMAL, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today, we take you into the weekend with Rockin' Friday. Our segment features the best of rock, metal, punk, and jam band music. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tune.
All right, it's time to rock. Once again, we bring Herb Thrasher on the line. How you doing, Herb?
I'm doing great, man. Another rainy day in Portland, so things are starting to feel normal again.
Exactly. Hey, before we get to the Rockin' Friday tune, I want to remind everyone, we got Normal Rocks with Herb Thrasher tonight at 8 p.m. We weren't on last week because I was out in L.A., and we're going to take care of that. We're going to get some engineering fill-ins as well so that when I'm out of town, those shows can still be done live. But we haven't got it yet, so we're going to do a new Normal Rocks tonight. And I know, Herb, you're excited about tonight because you got an amazing guest.
Dude, we are fired up, man. We have Mark Hunter, lead singer from Chimera, and he's a freaking road warrior out there, mad screamer, and he's a freedom fighter,
yeah.
And totally believes in our cause, and they're about to go on a UK-Australian kind of tour, and we're catching him right before they're taking off. And so, yeah, we're going to talk with him, play some tunes. And then we're going to have some other tunes, like one of the songs that we're about to play you now from Sun Gods in Exile, and just some other fun stuff. And that second hour, we'll talk a little sports, maybe recap a little bit of the Super Bowl. We didn't get to do that because you guys were in L.A., and there's some things going on in college football that we could mention. And then we'll also recap the High Times Cup for some of the people that missed shows this week.
Yeah, we got some photos to show off and tales to tell, so it'll be a good time.
We're excited, man. I hope everyone's planning on joining us, having a party. You've still got time to go out and buy some speakers to plug up to your computers, because you guys are going to freaking need them as hard as we're going to be rocking.
It's going to be a good time. Tonight, 8 o'clock Pacific, 11 o'clock Eastern, 2 hours of rock with Normal Rocks with Herb Thrasher. And for a preview of that, we do Rockin' Fridays here every Friday, 20 after the hour, where Herb brings us something from the world of metal, rock, jam, punk, and even some alt country from time to time. What do we got today?
Oh, man, I'm fired up here. You know, being from Alabama, you know, growing up on Southern rock, it's in my blood, man. And that's a music genre that's just not really been in the news here in the last decade or so. And I found a band, man, that is really, really bringing it back. And I'm excited to bring these guys to you. So in a world that needs rock and roll more than ever, at a time when the music establishment continues to overflow with cookie-cutter pop and rap, in a place that's known more for their lobsters in their maddening solos, Sun Gods in Exile have arrived to bring some honest-to-God hard rock to the masses. Formed in early 2008 in Portland, Maine, by four guys that worship at the altar of vintage rock, Sun Gods in Exile is more than the sum of their respected past. Their first album, Black Light, White Lines, seethes with some of the same classic rock energy that their live shows have gained them widespread notoriety, and not to mention their infamous after parties. The licks are strong, the solos are blazing, and the songs leap from the speakers like rock and roll toad in a blender. In March 2011, Sun Gods headed back into the studio, again with their same record engineer, to record their next slab of music, Thanks for the Silver, due in early 2012. So the album's not really out yet. It's coming out soon. But we're going to have this song here, and you guys will be able to find it soon. The song Smoke and Fire from the new album, Thanks for the Silver, is a great example of the schooling of these boys learned and the teaching us now. So kick back, have a smoke, and jam out to Sun Gods in Exile. See you guys tonight on Normal Rock. Keep the peace.
Right on, Herb Thrasher. This is Sun Gods in Exile, Smoke and Fire, for your Daily Toker Tunes on Rockin' Friday.
everybody. It's Wiz Coleco from the Ivory Island Hour, which comes to you live every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Pacific on the Normal Network. I just wanted to let you know that two of my favorite bands are teaming up to spread good vibes across the land and are headed to a venue near you. Revolution is heading out on the second leg of their tour in support of the release of their new triple album, Peace of Mind, which includes full-length acoustic and dub versions. They'll also be joined by our boys from the land of Aloha, The Green. They're also promoting the recent release of their latest album, Ways and Means. You can check out a full list of shows, get the latest swag, and most importantly, find their music at revolutionmusic.com and thegreen808.com. Don't miss this amazing tour. I promise you, after these shows, you'll have peace of mind.
Tjena, jag heter David, PKA The Dirtball. Vi ska röka hela tiden, alla år.
And now, a message from former President George W. Bush to remind the American people of our responsibility in our nation's war on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
That's right, America, use less drugs. Put down the Prozac, the Vioxx, and the Levitra, and turn to the herb. Use less drugs. Our national policy is no longer just say no. It's now just slow down.
You get me too high. I overanalyze. If you've ever been too high, then you can sympathize. You get me too high. And I start to fly if I said some silly thing, and that's the reason why.
Tune in to the Normal Network every weekday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern for our primetime lineup. We begin with an hour of daily Toker Tunes, followed by Normal Show Live and Toker Talk Radio, live from Rolla J Studios in Portland, Oregon. Then, you get 2 hours of recorded podcasts from national and international reformers, followed by our late-night live shows at 11 p.m. Eastern. Then the whole six-hour block repeats twice overnight. It's the Normal Network, your source for the best in marijuana media. Normal has been the place to go for the latest studies and news on marijuana science, policy, and activism. For over a decade, one man at Normal has written and reviewed more studies and news stories regarding marijuana than most anyone on the planet. First as senior policy analyst and now as deputy director, Normal's Paul Amentano has written for major newspapers, academic journals, and magazines on the subject of cannabis and is frequently requested as an expert witness in the courtroom. His knowledge and experience are an amazing asset to the cannabis community. Available to you now in a segment we call Behind the Headlines with Paul Amentano.
All right, welcome back, everybody. And coming in March, we'll rename this segment the Legislative Report, because that's what we're doing here with Paul Amentano, who's bringing us Normal's weekly legislative review. Hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm hanging in there, Ross. How are you?
Oh, glad to hear you're doing well. And, you know, we've got all sorts of things to cover here as far as the state efforts to change marijuana laws, reform as far as decrim, as far as medical marijuana, legalization, of course. I'm going to talk about Washington's I-502 at the end of the show. So if you're listening and you're wondering, why aren't they talking about that? We'll get to that one, but I wanted to talk about the state initiatives that are going on, the state legislative, the bills that are going on, the measures that we have here. Let's start with Massachusetts, where they're looking at legalization. Where are we at there?
Well, there is legislation that's pending in the state of Massachusetts. It's House Bill 1371. And the reason I highlighted it this week is because there is going to be a hearing where testimony is going to be taken in favor of House Bill 1371. And that hearing is going to be Tuesday, March 6th. And that's going to be before the Judiciary Committee in Massachusetts. And the way they do it in the state of Massachusetts is that representatives from both chambers, the House and the Senate, will sit on that committee and they will hear testimony regarding the regulation and legalization of marijuana for adults over age 21. This is a very comprehensive bill. In fact, a former Normal board of director, Richard Evans, was involved in crafting the language of that bill.
Of course, this House Bill 1371, if you want to contact your legislators, just go to our normal blog. It's blog.normal.org and look up the weekly legislative roundup. We've got links to Normal's Take Action Center. You can click, just tell them your zip code, and it'll help you through the procedure of sending an email or even contacting by phone your elected representatives in Massachusetts and these other states. And let's see, the next state we have, we're also staying on the East Coast here. We've got legislation in the state of New York. Now, this has been a story we followed a while on, you know, New York State is a decriminalization state when you possess marijuana, but when it's in public view, it's a misdemeanor. And cops in New York City in particular have been using stop and frisks as a way to get that marijuana in public view and make these arrests. So tell us about the legislation that would address that here in New York.
Well, you're right, Russ. Police, particularly police in New York City, have been abusing the spirit of the law. Going back to 1977, lawmakers in New York State have said that they don't want to criminally prosecute minor marijuana offenders. And the way police, particularly those police in New York City, have been getting around that statute is to engage in these stop and frisks and then charge individuals who show the police a marijuana, or in cases where the police find marijuana on their person, they then charge them with this separate statute that says it's a criminal offense to possess marijuana in public view. So there is legislation pending in both chambers in New York. There's a Senate bill and there's also an Assembly bill. And what these measures would do is they would eliminate this separate statute that says it's a criminal misdemeanor to possess marijuana in public view, and it would simply make clear that in cases such as those, the decriminalization statute from 1977 would still apply, which says simple possession of marijuana is a non-criminal infraction. It's actually a civil violation under the law in New York State, and it's punishable by payment of a nominal fine only.
All right. So that should address that. And it's notable that it's a bipartisan thing going on in both the Senate and the Assembly. For more information, check out our blog, blog.normal.org, and click into the Take Action Center. Now we move a little farther down south on the East Coast, North Carolina, where we're talking about looks like a decriminalization measure. Tell us about this one.
Well, this would make North Carolina a true decriminalization state. Right now in North Carolina, if a first-time possessor of marijuana is charged, they are not going to face incarceration, and in fact, their sentence, it's mandatory that it will be suspended. But technically, possession of marijuana remains a criminal misdemeanor in North Carolina, which means that a person will still face a criminal record for this charge. And what the legislation that is pending in North Carolina will do is House Bill 324 is it will reduce marijuana possession penalties from this criminal misdemeanor, and it will make it a non-criminal infraction or a violation, which is very similar to what states like Maine and Connecticut and Oregon have done, where they have removed marijuana possession out of the criminal code and made it a traffic-like infraction.
Yeah, that's what we want to see, you know, a step in the right direction there in North Carolina, taking it out of, you know, decrim in, you know, almost name only here to a real decrim state. That would be good to see, especially for a state in the South. Now, this is, you know, very exciting for me reading this legislative roundup this week because it's all East Coast states. You know, we get so much news from out here in the West and in Colorado. This next one, Rhode Island, looks again to be some sort of decriminalization bill. Is this similar to North Carolina or a lot of difference?
Yeah, this is a true decriminalization bill. And this is a big deal in Rhode Island because Rhode Island maintains fairly strict criminal penalties for marijuana possession. Many of your listeners are probably aware that Rhode Island is, in fact, a medical marijuana state and has been for several years. But non-medical users still face fairly severe sanctions in the state of Rhode Island for possessing even small amounts of marijuana. This is a bipartisan effort. There is legislation now in both chambers. There's a House bill and there's a Senate bill. And what these would do is they would reduce marijuana possession for up to an ounce of marijuana in the state of Rhode Island from a criminal misdemeanor, which is punishable by jail time and a criminal record in Rhode Island, and it would make those sort of offenses once again a non-criminal infraction. It would be punishable by a maximum penalty of $150 fine. And we're very hopeful of the prospects of this legislation passing. Rhode Island has a legislature that probably more so than any other legislature on the East Coast or in the Northeast is the most sympathetic or marijuana friendly. They understand this issue. They've dealt with this issue many years earlier, and these measures seem to have adequate support. But that does not mean, if you live in Rhode Island, that it is not pertinent you contact your House member and your Senate member and you urge them to support this legislation. We also know that this legislation is strongly supported by the voters in the state of Rhode Island. MPP, to their credit, paid for a private polling firm to ask voters in Rhode Island whether they supported the decriminalization of marijuana, and over 65% of the respondents said that they supported this specific legislation. So this is something that's favored by the voters, and hopefully it'll be favored by the lawmakers as well.
And we have something similar brewing up in the state of Vermont as well, House Bill 427, another decrim measure.
Yes, again, this is a very similar to what was being proposed in Rhode Island. This is a measure to reduce simple marijuana possession from a criminal misdemeanor to a non-criminal offense. This is pending in the House in Vermont. And interestingly, with the governor that was elected now in 2010, he is quite supportive of this measure. So we're hoping that gives the adequate support among fellow lawmakers that this needs to succeed. There was a statewide poll done and released just this past week in Vermont showing, once again, more than 60% of adults in Vermont support this type of a change. So we hope that message resonates with lawmakers. And certainly any of your listeners who want to learn about these measures or any additional measures, and there's now marijuana-friendly legislation pending in about 25 or 30 states, they go to capwiz.com/normal2/issues. They can see summaries of all of these pieces of legislation, and they will be put directly in contact with their state legislators, and they can then contact them and tell them to support these specific efforts.
All right, folks, we'll get that in the chat room. It's capwiz.com/normal2/issues, and you'll be able to find the links to all of these different state issues. Now, for updates on some previous states, I had gotten an email saying something about a introduction of a West Virginia medical marijuana bill. Have we gotten an update on that?
Yes. Well, I can tell you that we have an alert on it. It is on the link at the link we just mentioned. There is medical marijuana legislation pending in West Virginia. It's actually the reintroduction of a bill that was introduced for the first time last year. It's House Bill 4498, and that's before the House Health and Human Resources Committee. And I believe they have about 2 weeks, technically, and within that time frame, they have to either hear and vote on the bill, or that bill will be tabled in committee. So certainly if people are in West Virginia and they're listening to this show, they need to contact the chair and vice chair of that committee and urge them to prioritize moving that bill.
All right. And we had reported earlier this year on Delaware becoming a medical marijuana state. Unfortunately, you're getting something across the alert wires here. Yes, that's the sound. Yep, that's the sound of another governor chickening out. We've got the governor in Delaware halting the program. Can you give us more details on this latest U.S. attorney's threat?
Well, it's not a particularly new threat, and that's what makes this most disappointing. This letter that the governor is now responding to was actually, I believe, first sent to the governor's office last year. At the same time, U.S. attorneys in other states were sending similar letters. So the governor was well aware of what the U.S. attorneys were threatening. Really, at the time, he signed this bill into law. And
right.
What is really curious to me is why it took 8 months or 9 months after the fact for him to actually then publicly for the first time acknowledge receiving the letter and then responding to the letter by suspending this program. Certainly, it is my hope that the lawmakers who backed this measure will take the U.S. attorney's threat seriously and say, okay, if you don't want the state of Delaware to license medical marijuana dispensaries, then we're simply going to allow patients to grow their own, since the U.S. Attorney's Office says they're not going to be focused on individual patients. And I think that would be the ideal response, not just in Delaware, but in all of these states where the federal government is sending these letters. That, to me, would be the ideal retort to this federal government overreach.
Yeah, absolutely. Call their bluff on this. Any chance the governor of Delaware joins Governor Gregoire and Chafee from Washington and Rhode Island on that rescheduling petition?
I don't have any insight on that, but I do know that the, as I said, the primary sponsors of this bill, they're very unhappy with this decision. A few of them are asking the governor to reconsider his decision, and others are saying that if, in fact, he won't, then they simply will consider going back and amending the language of the law to allow for patients to grow their own in Delaware, which under the present law they cannot do.
Yeah. All right. Well, Paul Armentano is Normal's deputy director, calling us from the Bay Area in California, and co-author of Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? Paul, thanks for joining us on Normal Show Live. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay. Take care, Russ.
When we come back, we're talking about Washington, I-502 next.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for making pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
What's up, guys? This is Miss High Times 2007, and you're chilling with us here at the Normal Podcast.
Hi, this is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal. We are the oldest, largest, and best-known marijuana law reform organization in America, and it's all because of your support. Take some time to join Normal at www.normalnorml.org. Your membership supports this podcast, our websites, our policy research and analysis, and our annual conferences. Changing marijuana laws is a grassroots effort, and it starts with you, the stakeholder. Join Normal today and add your voice to the millions of cannabis consumers who demand equality with our beer-drinking friends.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Well, Normal has officially, they had their Normal Board of Directors meeting, the annual meeting, and has officially endorsed the Washington I-502 legalization initiative that has made the ballot in Washington State. Now, this presents a little bit of a dilemma for me, as some of my most respected colleagues and good friends of mine in the movement in Washington State are opposed to I-502. And they're working for grassroots efforts to place other legalization initiatives on the ballot. Now, their primary concerns with I-502 is the often discussed on this blog 5 nanograms per milliliter per se DUID standard of THC in the blood, and the zero tolerance DUID for those under age 21, and the lack of home growing provisions that would create stores, marijuana stores, rather than being allowed to grow for yourself personally. And they also contend that these stores would likely be challenged by the feds and perhaps not implemented by the state. But still, there's a lot of concern. So I want to address some of this stuff because there are a lot of people listening who might still be on the fence about this. Let's start with the idea of the weed stores, the sales of marijuana. Currently, nobody but patients can grow their own marijuana in Washington State. Now, after I-502, patients will still be able to grow their own marijuana, and the state will be able to license producers to grow marijuana for the state-run stores. So people that are currently growing marijuana illegally could apply for licenses and become state growers. And this could be, you know, a possible legal source of income for these people. So it's, we're not having any fewer people being able to legally grow weed, and we're actually creating more people who could legally grow weed. Now, also, the people that are still illegally growing weed would probably still do so. So now you're opening yourself up to a chance of having a legal place to get weed and still having your regular illegal sources to get weed. And then with the competition that the state is going to be providing here with the larger economies of scale, the weed you have to purchase is going to get cheaper as the growers fight to keep up with the scale of production. Now, I know if you're making a living growing and selling weed, that probably doesn't sound attractive to you, but sorry, you don't deserve to earn a living off of prohibition. Governments don't, lawyers don't, prisons don't, rehabs don't, even bloggers like me don't deserve to be making a living off of prohibition. So let's fight to end my job and other people's jobs and just legalize this thing. And finally, keep in mind that Washington State had until the last election state-run liquor stores. And then the business interests got together and, you know, put together an initiative. And now there are no state-run liquor stores. It's all privately run in Washington State. No reason something like that couldn't happen in the future. Then there's the fact that I-502 only allows you to possess a mere 1 ounce, some people will say. And you got to purchase it from a state shop. And then there might not be a state shop because the feds might get involved. There might be a court battle and all of that. You still can't home grow, in other words. That's part of the problem. However, when you legalize 1 ounce of marijuana, that changes everything. And not just in Washington State, but it changes it nationwide. Legalization is no longer a concept. It's a reality. The mere smell of weed is no longer a probable cause for a cop to be harassing you. The possession of a dime bag and a pipe will no longer get you a mandatory 2-day jail stay and a mandatory $500 fine and drug criminal record that follows you around for the rest of your life. And for patients traveling with less than an ounce, they get true protection from arrest, not the affirmative defense they currently have, also known as get arrested and then show your medical papers to the judge. And some of those patients with less need won't even have to, you know, go get their annual doctor's permission slip. They might be able to make do with buying from the state store and being able to possess less than an ounce. They could save some money every year. And most importantly, other states that are considering legalization, when Washington State does it and they see that the sky doesn't fall and the roads are still safe and the kids are still safe, that will help the other states move forward with progressive legislation. The feds challenging Washington state stores will bring the prohibition fight back to the courts where we can make that states' rights showdown that we need to move this issue forward nationally. Now, don't get me wrong. I still want to see the legalization of home growing. Every adult should be allowed to grow their own marijuana for personal use. That's not on the ballot right now. And it's going to be much easier to convince the people or the legislature the next ballot that comes around that people should be allowed to cultivate the marijuana that they're legally allowed to possess and that state is legally selling and that licensed producers are legally growing than it is to try to secure the right to home cultivation of something that's currently illegal that only criminals grow. Now, sometimes I hear, especially in regard to this 5 nanogram per milliliter DUID standard, that I-502 is throwing patients under the bus. And let me reiterate, a 5 nanogram per milliliter DUID standard per se is unscientific, it's unnecessary, and it's unjust. But let's also reiterate that the majority of tokers won't be above 5 nanograms per milliliter if they haven't toked within 1 to 4 hours. And remember that the marijuana prohibition we have now is unscientific, unnecessary, and unjust. Medical marijuana supporters in other states have approved all sorts of unscientific, unnecessary, and unjust statutes. For example, a mature plant is one that's greater than 12 inches tall, or plants and medicine must never be seen in public view, or the states that don't recognize PTSD as a qualifying condition. But we've accepted those unscientific, unnecessary, and unjust compromises because the alternative was to continue to see patients get arrested. In the 13 years since Washington State passed Measure 692, I estimate there have been over 180,000 marijuana arrests. there are 630,000 annual marijuana users in Washington State. It's estimated that only 60 to 100,000 of them are patients. So why is it that when we want to protect the majority of healthy tokers from arrest in 2012, it's throwing patients under the bus, but when we wanted to protect just the minority of sick tokers from arrest in 1998, it wasn't healthy tokers not allowed on the bus? Why is it okay to approve all sorts of unscientific, unnecessary, and unjust regulations as the lesser evil to arresting sick tokers, but it's not okay as a lesser evil to arresting healthy tokers? Nobody's throwing patients under the bus here. I-502 is just asking that the healthy tokers not have to sit in the back of the bus anymore, and that the sick tokers ride one if they don't drive very well. Now, opponents of I-502 who support legalization say that this isn't the right bill, that their legalization's a better option. You know, I heard the same thing during the campaign for Prop 19 in California. That took $1.5 million to get out on the ballot. It got 46.5% of the vote. And during that campaign, the patients against Prop 19 told us all that Prop 19 was a bad law that would create corporate control over weed and it would hurt patients. We'll put a better initiative on the ballot in 2012, a presidential year, they told us. Well, it's 2012. California is not likely to have legalization on the ballot. The initiative that's furthest along, Regulate Marijuana Like Wine, has 30,000 signatures and $80,000. Now, I-502 is not the legalization I would write. I would include home growing, you know, change the way the stores are put together. I'd have no per se DUID. I'd make the legal age 18. I'd have no limits on what you could possess or grow. But I don't have the ability to get that on the ballot, and neither do the grassroots legalization orgs that are opposed to I-502. And even if we did get it on the ballot, it would fail miserably because the voters aren't ready for that degree of marijuana freedom. It's not going to go from deadly, dangerous Schedule 1 drug that will lead your kids to heroin addiction and cause chaos on the freeways to as free as cigars in one vote. So we can complain about I-502's flaws and vote against it, like the DEA, the cops, the Mexican drug cartels want you to vote, or we can direct our limited volunteer time, money, talent, and focus on it, on the initiatives that'll divide and confuse the electorate and dilute our base, or we can get behind the initiative that has made the ballot, does have major financial support, and does have unprecedented big-name law enforcement support, and is polling above 55%, and we can vote to be the first state in America to legalize marijuana.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
We got plenty more to say about I-502. Stick around for Toker Talk Radio in Hour 2. For Ganja John, Wiz Khalifa, Cannabis Carry, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
Before it all.